So, if you have a question for the public relations director of the Red Wings, give us a call, 965-4312. Meanwhile, there's a Colex dealer in Sterling Heights on 14 Mile and Mound. Tom Cherry is the man to talk to there. Their phone number, 284-8200. In Wayne, on Michigan Avenue and Newburgh Road, Ron Dorch, 326-6220. A new Colex collision dealer in Pontiac on Dixie Highway near Telegraph Road. Ask for Russ Thomas. Their phone number, 335-8169. As I say, my guest tonight is the public relations director of the Detroit Red Wings, Bud Lynch, and he's got a lot of stuff in front of him. I don't know what all that is, Bud, but welcome to the show, and I guess we might start off by saying the Red Wings have made a few changes in the last week or so. Why don't we talk a little about that to start off?
Thanks for letting me get my car washed tonight, Ron. That's the way the weather is, eh?
Yeah.
What do you mean the Red Wings have made a few changes? After last year, they better make some changes. And Ted Lindsay, the general manager, has made sure they're making changes, and they're not through yet. What's your first question?
Let's talk about the changes they just made a few days ago. They acquired three players, free agents. Talk about them for a couple minutes, Bud.
I mean, the fact that they... I thought you were going to talk about the Ron Lowe story. I mean, wasn't it Lowe for McKechnie first?
Yes, yeah. And a couple of others, too.
Oh, yeah, well, everybody, I think, has been talking about the fact that how could you get rid of a McKechnie who was the leading scorer for the Red Wings the last two seasons? And I'm sure when the phone rings, do they ring up here? Does it really ring?
Yes, it's ringing, and all four lines are taken, so we got to hustle up with this and go right to the telephone line.
Well, maybe I better not tell you anything. Let's the fans ask the questions, then I'll give them the answers. You can listen, Ron.
Okay.
Nice to be on your show, though.
Okay, it's 965-4312 is the number if you have a question for Bud Lynch. And, I think we might add a little background on Bud. For he's been the voice of the Red Wings for quite a few seasons now, and now he's the director of public relations. And before we go to the telephone lines, I think one question I want to ask you, Bud, you miss broadcasting. I know a lot of people miss listening to Bud Lynch. What about Bud Lynch? Does he miss broadcasting?
Certainly do, Ron. And of course, you're in the business a few years now, and you're getting the experience. There's something fascinating about working in an industry that where you are an informant to the viewers and the listeners. And it's part of your lifeblood. In all the years that I was working Red Wing hockey, 25 seasons plus, and other sports as well in the area.
University of Michigan football. I don't know if people go back that far. U of M football and Lion football.
Detroit Lions, the late Harry Wismer, and great relationship with the late Van Patrick, of course, and the late Ty Tyson. Sure, sports is a part of your life, and if you get a chance and a privilege to be a broadcaster, you'll always miss it if you're not at the microphone. By the same token, I guess it's one of those things... There's a lot of places for you young fellas to come in. That's good.
Youngsters like myself.
I didn't say youngsters. I said young fellas.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to the telephone lines. It's Bud Lynch tonight, 965-4312, and let's take some telephone calls. Hello, you're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch. Hello, you're on the air. Well, no, you're not. Good evening. You're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch.
Right. Bud says he'd give him the questions. Here's my question on the Ron Lowe trade. Okay. First of all, let me say, Bud Lynch, we missed you on the radio, especially last season.
And the TV.
Right. He does a pretty good job, a real good job. Okay, let's get to the Ron Lowe thing. A lot of people have been talking about the trade, and like Bud says, they don't understand how they could give up McKechnie for a guy that wasn't even the number one, really, I mean, the number one goaltender for Washington, because before the season was over, Washington went out and got Roger Crozier. Bad stomach and all, and he was just about the number one goaltender there for a while until he got sick again. And it comes to mind when Washington played Detroit here, and Crozier was in the net, so Lowe couldn't even get him out. And the rumor is that Lindsay didn't know that he had to give up some, for something for Lowe. And if this is this true, and because the way I look at it, if they would have went to arbitration, no way what they would have given a player that plays every day for a goaltender that wasn't even a starting goaltender. Can you answer that?
You're a hockey knowledgeable individual, and thanks for the question. I must say that in all fairness, Ted Lindsay, as general manager now, is learning full well. And because of his background in hockey and knowledge of hockey, sure, he's going to be walking into some open traps here and there. Part of your observation is correct. I don't know for sure whether all the facts were laid on the line that, A, if you went for a player on another team, that you had to come up with a consideration, extra considerations, whatever you want to call it. But the word arbitration is getting into all sports and athletics today, and you have to compensate, I guess is the word. And Ted Lindsay give him credit. He's coveted this job for a long time. He wanted it. And he's had some background in knowing how you have to handle things. But since the Red Wings had a disastrous season, and a few of them, in fact, but last year in particular, no one is going to help you. Believe me, and you fans realize that. And this happened when we only had six teams in the National Hockey League. So somehow you got to make a start. And you're quite true. Whether Ted made the deal knowing that he had to give up other considerations, no one knows for sure because Ted's not available right now. But I'll say this for sure, that Ted is going to make decisions, and he's going to make bold moves. And it's tough to give up a player who was your leading scorer 2 years in a row.
As
Ted said, he wishes Walt McKechnie the best of luck. Ted's looking at other things, too. Lowe played 54 games for Washington, last-place team last year. But he is big, he is tall, and we have two great goalkeepers, Ed Jackman and Jimmy Rutherford. So who knows what's ahead from there?
I heard Gordie Howe was on the radio. I heard him.
What's his name?
Gordie Howe. Some guy that used to be around. He was on the J.P. McCarthy show, and I found it kind of interesting. See, I'm against the World Hockey League. I think it's a watered-down league. And he was talking about how he thought it was going to make it and all that. And yet, he stated it. He says, well, when it fails, the National Hockey League is going to try to pick up all the good players they could from the World Hockey League. And then the next breath, he's talking about, you know, that it's got a real chance to make it. Well, I'd like to have been there to ask him how much money he didn't get paid for playing the World Hockey League in the playoffs and that. And the sooner that league falls, I think it's going to be better for the fans because then maybe we can get some of the prices down again. Nice talking to you.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you. You talked about a very good friend, Gordie Howe. He's still the greatest player that ever played in the National Hockey League.
It's the first time I've heard you call him Gordie. You usually call
I forget
him
that. Power.
Pardon me?
Just Power. His name is Power. Lefty Wilson and I call him Power.
Oh, I see what you mean. You got a tough act to follow, you know, tonight, Bud. Dick Vitale was on last night, so...
Who, my Irish friend from UAD?
Yes, he was saying good things about you last night, Bud.
Well, we were together at a Polish banquet.
I know, you were. I was there, too.
The Polish Sports Hall of Fame.
Right.
Isn't it nice that they invited a one-armed Irishman and a one-eyed Italian, and the two of us had fun?
Yeah, I know Dick's did, and I had a lot of fun, too.
Dick's doing a great job out there at... is it Livernois 6 miles still?
Yes.
Titan territory, Rowdy Dick.
Oh.
Enthusiastic, Richard.
Okay. Bud Lynch is my guest this evening. 965-4312 is the number. Say, where can you put your money today with rising costs and our economy so uncertain? Where will it earn more than interest in a bank? Have you thought of investing in insulation for your home? Well, you probably wonder what good insulation is and who to do business with. Well, the answer is Life Insulation. Call them tomorrow at 342-3022. What is Life Insulation? Life Insulation is the largest dealer of Borden's insul spray in the metropolitan Detroit area. And you know Borden's. Yes, it's Elsie the Cow and Elmer's Glue. That's Borden's, and the Life Insulation is at the top of their field. Give them a call at 342-3022. With rising costs for utilities and rising costs for new furnaces and air conditioners, we can no longer waste our precious supplies of energy. Borden's largest and oldest, most experienced dealer has that answer. Foam insulation for your walls that is fire-safe, non-toxic, UL-approved, and rated highest in the industry. That's Life Insulation. You can give them a call at 342-3022 at their main office and tell them you heard about it on the Ron Cameron Sports Show. That's 342-3022. And we got a little contest here. 2 weeks from today, not I say 2 weeks, 3 weeks from today, we will have a drawing on the show. And if you send a card in to me, you will... If your card is picked, you will get a free foam insulation for your home. So, and if you don't win, you still get a 50 ways to plug the holes in your energy dollar booklet. I'll personally send it to you. So send a letter to me, Ron Cameron, WMZK Radio, Broderick Tower Building, Detroit, Michigan, 48231, and the drawing will be held 3 weeks from today. Or if you're around the State Fair when that starts this week, I will be appearing there a week from Saturday from 5 till 9 p.m., to sign autographs and talk sports, and you can drop your card in there if you don't feel like putting it in the mail. That'll be at the State Fair. That's Life Insulation. So send the letter to me, Ron Cameron, WMZK Radio, David Broderick Tower Building, Detroit 48231, and you could win a free insulation for your home. If not, you'll at least get, I'll send you a program, I might say a program, I'm looking at Bud and Red Wing program, 50 ways to plug the holes in your energy dollar by me, Ron Cameron. I will send that to you. That's Ron Cameron, WMZK, David Broderick Tower Building, Detroit, Michigan, 48231, and maybe you'll win a free insulation for your home. Bud Lynch is my guest this evening. 965-4312 is the number, and let's take some more telephone calls. Hello, you're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch.
Good evening, Bud. How are you?
Pretty good.
First, I'd like to say that if there ever is a Broadcasting Hall of Fame, you're certainly a prime candidate for it. Your excitement, the years you did the Red Wing games and your phrases just really became part of everybody's
Your life. Mother and your grandfather told me the same thing. Thanks very much, though.
No goal, no goal. We remember all those phrases back there.
We miss Bud.
Yeah, we certainly do, Brian.
We had good years and bad years, too.
First of all, Bud, I'd like to pay a compliment to your organization. I think it was great for you to show your faith in the city by staying in Detroit. I think it was really a good idea for Bruce Norris to change his mind and to reconsider and stay downtown. I feel that sports should stay downtown, and it's really nice that your team led the way in the new arena downtown to decide to play there.
Well, the nice thing about it is at one time we were destined to go to Pontiac, for your information. I think the sports fans in the area are well aware of that. And then there was a complete change around, and Lincoln Cavallari, who is the general manager of Olympia and the vice president of the hockey club, I wouldn't say he was shocked, but he was called by the mayor of Detroit as well, and the whole turnaround. And the Red Wings are the Red Wings for the state of Michigan and downtown Detroit. That's where they've been for 51 seasons. So you're right. It's We're on the threshold again to try to keep this franchise as exciting as it used to be and give the fans something for their money, and that's what everyone in the organization is trying to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Your question was?
Well, I was going to ask you, how did you feel about the Gordie Howe situation? Would you personally have liked to seen him come back to Detroit? I know you were a longtime admirer of him.
Well, I perhaps was one of the fortunate ones that covered Gordie's whole career. In the 1,700 games that I covered Gordie, I guess, just about every place except when he played in the minors before he came here, although I saw him as a 16-year-old boy in Windsor, Ontario. Mm-hmm. I must say that his career in the National Hockey League was something that, and due credit to the great Rocket Richard and others, but there was only one Gord Howe, let's face it. And not that your career doesn't change, but when he did have the opportunity because of the fact that they wanted his two boys to be a part of another league, the WHA, I can fully understand why he made the move. But there is no doubt about it that no way could Ted Lindsay as general manager, for the sake of one player, bring three into the fold and give up a draft choice. And
four into the fold, you might say. If
you said it, I didn't.
Okay.
Colleen's a good personal friend of mine, and I fully realized she was the agent. She was the one that was making the deal, and why not? That was the role she was playing for Gordie, Marty, and Mark. But in Gord's case, I just felt that Gord, as I say, a personal friend, I'm sure that he's like Blanda in football. And I'd like to see Blanda play for the Lions, by the way, with Gordie Howe holding the ball. It's amazing what some athletes can do. But after a while, there's got to be a time when you have to make your decision. You no longer can be as competitive as, without getting hurt.
Yeah.
Gordie Howe is just one of the rare, unique American athletes who, Canadian-born from Floral, Saskatchewan, is still a great credit to any boy that competes, period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was going to ask you one other thing quickly. I'm curious, why did the team have so many of those 4 o'clock matinees on Sundays? Was it the crime situation? Or, you know, it's unusual because Sunday night was such a traditional night of hockey in Detroit, and then there were, you know, a batch of those late-season afternoon games on Sunday. Any reason behind that?
A good point. I think full well that there was concern, to put it mildly, when Alex Delvecchio was general manager and talking to his bosses at the time. Everyone had an observation to make, and I don't know how far back you go, but way back in the late 60s, well, before Jack Adams died, he was the one that forecast you should have matinee hockey, so outstate fans could come into Detroit and see a football game in the afternoon, because that was matinee, and then see a hockey game. So he moved the starting time up to 7 o'clock years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then when they got the idea to have matinee hockey games, it was a good idea because basically you bring the youngsters. And around the holiday season, certainly after football is over, basketball's still on, but around December and January in particular, when vacation time is on, matinee games are great for the kids. After all, the kids get hockey equipment at Christmas time, they can come down and see their heroes, and they're going to find new heroes, the boys that are 20, 21, and 22 now. And I think the matinee idea when we started it at 4 and 4:30 a few years ago was basically of concern to get people to be able to drive by daylight and get the kids home, have a meal at home, and be able to go to school the next morning.
I see. Huh?
We'll have some this year as well.
Okay, when will your schedule be out, Bud?
Coincidentally, I'm handing Ron Cameron, you can see it if you watch real closely on your radio set right now, the official schedule was released just today.
Wow.
Where are you, Bud?
And it's got your name on it, Ron. How do you spell it, Cameron? Okay, Cameron, see if you can read it.
Okay, if I go all the way through this.
Now, read the first two lines.
First two lines, the Red Wings will open the 1977-78 season at home against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Wow.
Thursday, October 13th at Olympia.
And?
And we'll end regular season play at home against the Montreal Canadiens Sunday, April 9th at Olympia.
And then get your playoff tickets.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nothing but good games in between.
So it is the 13th of October. The first league game will be against the Maple Leafs here.
And that's the home opener as well,
right,
as the regular season opener?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you.
Okay.
Nice talking to you.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Good evening. You're on the air with Bud Lynch.
Yeah. I just want to ask Bud, what is taking the Red Wings so long to get rid of Hextall and Harvey?
Hextall and who else?
Harvey. Buster Harvey.
Well, Buster Harvey played for a while last year, got injured, you recall. Went down and played for the team in Kansas City, which is the farm club right now, and Buster Harvey actually did very well down. He was on a championship team down there. One thing about Terry Harper, you said?
No, Hextall.
Oh, you keep mentioning the H's, so I got to be careful. There's a lot of H's in this club. Hextall, of course, was acquired, due cause from Minnesota, and I'll tell you one thing about, he's a competitor.
They should buy a mask.
A what?
He should buy a mask.
Violent?
Buy a mask.
Oh, no, he, don't you like the way Hextall plays?
No.
You coach Little League hockey?
Right.
Oh. Well, then you don't pattern your style after Hextall. Is that right? Hextall is a fiery competitor. He's only 27 years of age, you know. He's been around a while. And
is he only 27?
He's like Ted Lindsay. They never grow old.
I'm not 27.
Well, that
years
sounds
old
like a good age bracket.
That's a good age bracket, but I thought he was 12 or 13 years older.
He is, really. But, you know, you got to give a guy a break once in a while, Ron.
Yeah.
But you said, why don't they get rid of him?
Right.
Well,
it's taken so long
to get rid of them. We haven't had Hextall that long.
Yeah, but it seems to me he don't play Lindsay's style of hockey.
Oh, he does.
Well, we haven't had a chance yet. Lindsay's only been in the fold about 2 months late in the season. I think if Hextall can stay on the ice instead of the penalty box, he's going to be a great competitor for the Wings. After all, up the center, you got to have tough guys as well as playmakers, too.
Yes.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for the call. Bud Lynch is my guest this evening, 965-4312 is the number, and we'll be right back with more with Bud after we hear a message from a friend of Bud's and a friend of mine.
Hi, this is Coach Dick Vitale of the University of Detroit Titans, where winning is a habit, speaking about another winner, and that is Royal Transmission. Yes, your problems are all over with if you drive a foreign-made car. You now have a place where you can get super service and also be treated like a king. Royal Transmission, where they take care of your car in super style. Royal Transmission is not a coast-to-coast franchise dealer. No, no. Royal Transmission is a local independent chain of transmission specialists where service and personal attention is what it's all about. They are as good as any and better than most, and that is a fact. Get down to Royal Transmission for a free road test. If your car can't make it, they will tow it free. Yes, there are 6 locations in the Metro Detroit area. Get on down to one in Detroit, Roseville, Warren, Utica, Madison Heights. They treat you like a king.
Thank you, Dick, for that brilliant analysis there in that commercial. Say, would you like a sun porch? Not just a porch, but a completely insulated room that you can use every day of the year? You can even include a wood-burning fireplace. Call Admore right now at 746, make that 476-7123. Can't read my own writing. Admore's porches are completely finished and include 3 choices of windows, 3 door options, 12 interior choices, and 8 exterior colors. Give Admore a call 24 hours a day. They specialize in mobile home additions. If you have any questions about adding an extra room to your mobile home, give Admore a call at 476-7123. My guest tonight, Bud Lynch of the Detroit Red Wings, public relations director, former voice of the Red Wings for so many years. If you want to get through to Bud or you want to ask Bud a question, give us a call at 965-4312, and let's take some more calls, Bud. Hello, you're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch. Hello, you're on the air with Bud.
Okay. I'd like to know about a Mr. F. Leisure, who is in the, supposed to be in the Red Wing farm system. I heard rumors. I'd like to know about that.
What's his name, son?
F. Fleischer. I don't know his first name.
Fleischer?
Yeah, it's just rumors I heard.
Well, is he from this area?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a pretty good hockey player?
I guess so.
Is he related to you?
No.
No? What position does he play?
I forget, but I just heard that rumor.
I think that rumor is wrong.
Well, there's a Sleazor that used to be around this area, but I don't know whether he's with the Wings organization. Incidentally, how old are you, son?
10.
You play hockey?
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite player?
I don't know. I have a lot.
What position do you play?
I play goalie.
A goalie?
Yeah, once a while.
You're like the quarterback in football. You're going to make a lot of money someday when you go to college.
Hmm?
Okay.
Yeah, I'd also like to know.
Sounds like bowling for dollars here, bud.
Yes, go ahead, son.
I'd also like to know about Mr. Pat G. Shane, who's supposed to drive the Red Wings bus until he crashed in the parking lot.
What was his name again?
Pat G. Shane.
Pat Duchesne.
Oh, G. Pat G. Shane.
Pat G. Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Lefty Wilson, the veteran trainer of the Red Wings, trains all those bus drivers. And
that's why he crashed in the parking
lot. You tell your dad that I don't know about that one, but if he calls me at the office tomorrow, I'll try to get an answer for you.
Thank you, sir, for the call.
Okay.
Bye. Good evening. You're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch.
Hello, Bud.
Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
Is Harper still on the team?
Well, he's on a contract. He's a member of the Red Wing organization since we got him from the Los Angeles Kings.
Uh-huh. I was
yes.
just wondering, because I think he's all washed up.
Well, I'll tell you.
What do you think?
No, I think Terry's one of those great competitive individuals, and I've always said, and I've told it many times at a banquet, the year that the Dion trade came in, when Harper and Maloney came to Detroit, it's too bad that Terry Harper didn't get to Detroit in time for the training camp to be of an asset to the young defenseman. He was having his problems contractual-wise with L.A. at the time, got here a little bit late. And Harper, of course, with his great career in the National Hockey League with the Montreal Canadiens, is a competitive individual. Sure, he's slowed up at his age. But one thing about Harper at 37 years of age, the old injury bugaboo has caught up with him at times. It takes a little longer to heal. And certainly last year, with the severe ligament strain and damage he got, mm-hmm. He still took the exercise, and he wants to come back and give it another go. And he's got an awful lot of knowledge that he can impart to young defensemen.
I think Jimmy Rutherford said that here, too, that he hopes Harper comes back simply because he works well with the younger defensemen. He does things that people in the stands don't realize.
Well, that could be true.
Okay.
But.
Yes.
What do you think of Orr as a hockey player?
Bobby Orr?
Yeah. Would you rank him as one of the all-time greatest?
Well, I saw the kid when he was 13 years of age, and Jimmy Skinner, who was the assistant general manager of the Red Wings, of course, way back in those days, was coaching the Windsor Spitfires before he came into the Detroit operation. And he was a boy that actually the Red Wings looked at and almost had a chance to get until Boston gave them half of Canada and half of Massachusetts to get him. But Orr was certainly, at that age, 14, 15 years of age, heir apparent to be a great hockey athlete. And it's just unfortunate that the knee injury bugaboo caught up with him. But Bobby Orr is a gentleman and is a fellow who really wants to play hockey still, and who knows whether he ever will again, will certainly not be dishonest with the fans or management. And he told the Blackhawk management the same thing. And Bobby Orr is just a great credit to pro hockey, believe me.
Okay, bud. Thank you.
Thank you
for the call. Good evening. You're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch.
Hi, bud.
Good evening.
Well, first got a call in and said Ron Lowe wasn't the number one goalie. How can you say Crozier? As Crozier played 3 games last year.
Well, going back on Crozier's case, Crozier had perhaps one of the greatest parts of his hockey career when he played for the Red Wings. And in a playoff game in the Montreal Forum, when the Wings lost to the Montreal Canadiens, he was voted the outstanding player, which was a shock to every Montreal Canadian fan internationally.
It was a shock to J.C. Tremblay. He flipped in the Montreal dressing room. Tore up everything, I guess.
But Crozier, of course, has had pancreatitis trouble and other problems, and he was with the Buffalo organization, came along real well, got a shot again, and Washington took a chance on him, and he was heir apparent to be a backup goalie in case they got far enough into the playoffs.
Oh, I wasn't knocking Crozier. I just, you know, this guy
Crozier played well against us like Gump Worsley used to do.
Oh, Gump Worsley would kick him out with his behind and everything else against the Wings.
No mask in those days.
No.
Do you think that, Detroit's strong now in 2 positions, left wing and goaltenders. Do you think Rutherford might be traded? Rangers need a goaltender, and Chicago probably could use one. The split with Esposito, because his best years is when he split him with Smith and
only played 40 to 50 games instead of his 70 games. And, well, the Rangers probably give up Tkachuk. Is Lindsay still hot on Tkachuk, or doesn't he want him anymore?
Well, I've heard that name for so many years. The kid from Germany, Tkachuk, was going to come here, going to come to Detroit for sure, way back when. Trading is a difficult thing, and I never get involved in it, even when I was a broadcaster working radio and TV shows, and certainly as a sportscaster at a microphone covering hockey. It was very difficult. You get very close to individuals.
Yes.
The toughest role a GM has to do or a coach is tell a player someday, your X number of years with this club or three, you're going someplace else. Who knows what's going to happen, and I think every pro athlete realizes the day he signs a contract, whether it's a multi-year contract or not. As long as he is playing with his God-given talent and the profession that he likes and puts out every day, he may not be in the same city, but he's still playing sports.
Hey, one more question. Now that Alex isn't with the team anymore, do you think Alex was prejudiced against American and French-Canadian players?
No, sirree. That phrase that came out and got blown up, Alec again goes back to the era of the 50s when we had great teams here, and a great credit to his career in hockey, 22 seasons, a three-time Lady Bing winner. And Alex Delvecchio got into that real bind, communications, it happens in all sports, but certainly never did. He may have had a couple of American players that he didn't think would ever make it, never got to college, for example, or the first year in college, they never played varsity. He may have made some comments along that line, but certainly no. The Wings have always looked at American possibilities, and they have drafted in the last 3 years more and more American players, and you're going to see more and more in the future. American boys are going to make it. Incidentally, glad you mentioned Alex's name. Thursday night, Toronto, he goes into Hockey's Hall of Fame. He was in Michigan Sports Hall of Fame. Now he goes into the epitome of all things. It's a great tribute as a player who played as many seasons next to Gordie Howe. And Alex Fats Delvecchio was still a great credit to hockey in the city of Detroit.
Okay,
thank
sir.
You very, very much.
Thank you for the call. Good evening. You're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Bud, does he think that the National Hockey League will have its games televised on a major network this year?
The major network problem, and certainly out of the National Hockey League in Montreal and in New York, have worked hard and hard to try to get something going. Hockey above the Mason-Dixon line is here. We know that. And they have hockey in a minor capacity, believe it or not, in northern Florida, Carolina, down in Fort Worth, Texas. But to sell the National Hockey League in prime time is not the easiest thing in the world. The National Hockey League out of New York has a Monday night package after football is over, which starts in January, and then it goes into the playoff stages. And a national network would be the dream, the utopia. I still think it's 2 or 3 years away, because there are certain markets. If you had a major sponsor, be it a car company, a tire company, utility, or whatever you call it, you wouldn't be able to sell the sport in certain markets, as I say, below the Mason-Dixon line. But it'll happen someday, because hockey is growing, let's face it.
Yeah, and I'd also like to know, whatever happened to Eddie Shore? He used to play with Boston way back.
Well, that's way, way back.
I'll tell you, I saw Eddie Shore last...
Don't say as a 13-year-old, no.
No, in June.
Okay.
And I'll probably see him Thursday night at the Hall of Fame banquet in Toronto. And Eddie Shore, through all his bouts with health and everything else, is still the crusty, hard-nosed fella who trained so many hockey players, and the players indirectly didn't like him, but he trained them. And Eddie Shore has just been Mr. Number One in hockey around Springfield, USA, and still the hard rock of hockey for the old-timers and even some of the younger generation. Very good question. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Okay. 9654312 is the number. Bud Lynch of the Detroit Red Wings is my guest. We're going to take a timeout and be back with more from Bud Lynch. It's the Dombey's Restaurant. Bud Lynch is my guest this evening. 9654312 is the number. Lines are all lit up, so let's go back to them. Hello, you're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Bud a question. I also have a comment. Okay, now first the question. I heard that last year, you know, I heard about the news that Sid Abel had broken his waist or something. He had his skate guards on. I'd like to know how he's doing.
Are you a hockey fan?
Yeah, I'm a very big fan.
Well, I'm going to tell you a real story. Don't tell anybody else now.
I won't.
Sid Abel, who, of course, is a good personal friend and been a coach, general manager, all-star, hockey Hall of Famer, was taking his grandson out one night to a hockey skating meet. Mm-hmm. And he left his skate guards on and stepped on the ice. And that's very embarrassing, but when he fell, he actually hurt his hip, and it turned out that he had fractured his hip. But don't tell anyone else that he left his skate guards on. Promise me?
I won't.
Okay.
I learned it on television, though.
Okay.
But he's coming along real well.
Yeah, and I've also liked, there's another thing I'd like to ask you. You know that advertisement on TV, they're already advertising season's tickets for Red Wings. You know about that ad, don't you?
Yes, sirree.
Okay, they show that dude with the T-shirt on at the end. Is that Ted Lindsay with the T-shirt on?
With the aggressive sign on him?
Uh-huh.
Well, your mother, your grandfather, your father, and everybody else knows that that's Ted Lindsay.
I figured it was.
But it says aggressive hockey is back in town, but we didn't put Ted Lindsay's name on the top of it, but down in small print at the bottom, it is his signature. But I don't think, he's too physically fit to be that old.
Oh. Okay, thank you very much for the call. Good evening, you're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch.
Evening, Ron, Bud. How are you this evening?
Very nice.
You were just talking about season tickets. How are they going?
Very well. Would you like to buy some?
Well, no. I've had tickets for years and gave them up about three seasons ago, and I'm not quite prepared yet to reinvest. I'm going to,
Would you like to buy
wait and see, as they say.
Well, a lot of people are doing that same thing. You can't blame them after what's happened the last two or three years, but since you were a season ticket holder for a long time, would you like to buy two for the opening game on the 13th of October?
Well, I might consider that, Bud.
Well, you call Al Coates or Bud Lynch at Olympia, and we'll make sure you get the best seats that are available right now.
Oh, Bud, way to go.
Okay, I want you to, if you would, evaluate Ted Lindsay's first 6 months as general manager of the Detroit Red Wings.
Stormy.
Pardon me?
Stormy.
Stormy.
Fiery. He's trying everything, and he has set goals for himself, and in 24 hours, some of us that work around him don't know how he's accomplishing it. The one thing he realized more than ever, he's got to make sure that this is a competitive team that wants to get out there and put up for the paying customers.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, that means you really have to shake the bushes and get bodies in that want to compete.
Ted does have a game plan, then.
I don't use the word game plan. Ted has a target. And certainly one of the things he realized in the years when he came out of St. Michael's College and played for the Red Wings in the past, Detroit, one of the great franchises in the National Hockey League, an old cliche, though, had farm clubs. We had a working agreement. I've only been in PR 2 years. And we had a working agreement 1 year with Minnesota at New Haven, where some players were sent from Detroit, some from Minnesota to New Haven. Last year, it was a case of sending some players from St. Louis and some from Detroit to Kansas City. Ted said that would not be the way he wants to build for the future. So he went out and convinced Bruce Norris and Kansas City, believe it or not, and the mayor down there. And we now have a franchise in Kansas City for 2 years. Larry Wilson's the coach, and every player that does not make the big time will be a member of that Kansas City Red Wings team, where they know that if they play well enough, when somebody's hurt upstairs in the major leagues, they'll get a shot. And if a guy is goofing off up in the National League wearing a Red Wing uniform, he may be wearing a Kansas City Red Wing uniform. So this is the old story of having that major minor opportunity. You've got to start a system again. And on top of that, he's overseas right now. I don't know whether this has been really publicized, but yes. Ted Lindsay has gone to Czechoslovakia, Finland, and Sweden, watching the wind-up of their hockey programs, the Federation programs over there right now, trying to cement relationships again with those countries. And not that he's going to bring back any bodies, but certainly he's going to make sure that the people over there know there is a Red Wing organization again.
Well, I think I can agree with the farm system philosophy. I think it's a plus on Ted's side. I'm concerned about the minuses so far. And let me tell you how I feel. I was very disappointed in the way the Howe situation turned out. I was concerned about the outcome. But more than that, I was concerned about the way Ted Lindsay, as the general manager of the Red Wings, handled the entire situation. It got to be really sticky, and I was really disappointed and sorry that Gordy was treated that way.
I think the way it was handled to the general public's information, it was unfortunate. Here were two players that were greats together, along with Abel and Delvecchio and Pronovo and Sawchuk. And the way it came out, it was almost like a smear campaign. It's a terrible thing to say, but, I mean, it almost sounded like Gordy didn't like Ted, Ted didn't like Gordy. But it was unfortunate that Ted's decision had to be for the best of what he wanted as his target. And I still don't think there's that much friction between Ted Lindsay and Gordie Howe, period.
Well, I asked Ted on a radio show. I said, Ted, I said, I want you to show Gordie the same courtesy you showed Robbie Fatorik and George Lyle. I said, I want you to get on a plane, fly down to Houston, and meet with Gordie personally and Marty and Mark and Colleen and deal with the situation on a man-to-man basis. He flew out to Phoenix, wasted his time with Robbie Fatorik.
Well, now...
Wasted his time in New England with George Lyle.
Well, you're bound to make mistakes. And
no,
you're...
I'm concerned about that.
But Ted...
I'm concerned about Ted's first statement about Marty Howe. He said, through the generosity of Sammy Pollock, the Detroit Red Wings have acquired the rights to Marty Howe for $25,000. A month later, he clarifies that. He said, it's not only $25,000, but it's $25,000 for the next 3 years if Marty plays a minimum of 55 games for the Red Wings, plus a number two draft choice, 1978. He wasn't aware of the total compensation package for Marty.
Well, I'll tell you today, unless you're a lawyer, you wouldn't be able to read the fine clauses that are in some contract. But don't forget, 1 year ago, it wasn't Gordie or Mark or Marty. Colleen, as I say, a good friend, Colleen became the agent and emissary for whatever happened to the Howe situation, and it was unfortunate. It was played and twisted around, and I'm sure that in due time, Mark Howe will be in the National Hockey League.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for the call.
It's
Bud Lynch tonight, 965-4312 is the number. A reminder, you're listening to Sports Talk here on WMZK, the station of the nations. Sports Talk is presented each Monday and Tuesday nights from 10 to 11 p.m. My guest next Monday will be Gates Brown, former Tiger star turned scout now for the Detroiters. And a week from tonight will be an open line show with a little couple features in there, including hopefully Larry Heisel, the fine outfielder, one of the best ballplayers in the major leagues, direct from his home in Minnesota, talking about the Twins' chances in the American League West and talking about his fantastic season in which he's leading the league in RBIs despite being injured twice. But tonight, it's Bud Lynch. 965-4312 is the number. See, are you looking for a place to move out in the country ways? Well, live in the newest high-rise luxury apartments, Metro Towers, country ways. It's out by Metropolitan Beach, 26450 Old Crocker Boulevard at Jefferson in Lake St. Clair Resort area. An easy drive from downtown Detroit. Enjoy swimming, boating, and fishing. These apartments consist of 1 and 2 bedroom units with balconies overlooking a view of the lake, dishwashers, carpeting, and carports, and many other electronic extras. Utilities are furnished. Some space is still available in this brand new building. Call the manager direct, 296-2320. The Metro Towers Apartments, 296-2320. And how about making your wife or girlfriend happy in the next few days? Give Jordan's Flowers a call at 649-2208 and get her a fine bouquet of flowers. And if you can't pick them up, Jordan's will deliver anywhere in the metropolitan Detroit area. Jordan's Flowers is located 3001 West Big Beaver Road at Coolidge and Troy, across from the Somerset Mall. And if anywhere in the United States you want to send some flowers, they subscribe to the wire service, they will be sent. Jordan's Flowers, 649-2208. Jordan's will also do plant cares and decorate your home or office. Flowers for any occasions. Jordan's Flowers, 649-2208. If you have a question for Bud Lynch, give us a call at 965-4312. Let's take some more calls. Hello, you're on the air with Bud Lynch.
Yeah, Bud?
Yes, sir.
How come the Wings don't play more exhibition games at home?
Can't get the ice. Actually, through the years, Olympia has taken over with other attractions. After all, hockey is only 40 nights booking into the Olympia Stadium, plus playoffs in the good years. And the other nights, there are attractions there, and the circus has been in the building the last couple of years. It's back in there again this year. But there will be a game, by the way, at Olympia on the 30th of September. Now, the training camp doesn't start this year until the 20th, but on the 30th, the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to play a preseason game at Olympia, and which is kind of a unique thing. We haven't had a chance to play preseason games there. And on top of that, it'll be for the benefit of recreation, minor league hockey in the whole district. And they're going to do the same thing in Windsor because there's great hockey interest over there. They're going to play the Cleveland Barons there on the 27th of September to raise money for the minor league hockey program over there. This is all Ted Lindsay's thinking, and Preseason games are of interest because you get a chance to see who the new faces are.
There'll be a lot of them, too, it looks like.
And buy a program early. We'll all have to look at them.
One more, Bud. Who's going to win the Cup?
Well, are you a diehard hockey fan? Well, who won it last year?
They're not going to win it again, are they?
Well, they're champions until they're proven otherwise, and it'll be interesting to get in the playoffs. That's the target for the Red Wings this year, to get into the playoffs first. Montreal is so deep right now, and I'm sure that there must be 18 players in the minor system would love to play wearing the Montreal Canadian uniform.
Yeah, you're right.
One will be wearing a Red Wing uniform, it looks like, from Ted's indications.
Just one?
Well, I mean, from the interleague draft coming up.
If they have an interleague draft, you know, because the Wings finished last year round, they get the first whack.
Yeah, well, they said, you know, he said he would, he's looked right now, and it looked like he will grab somebody from the Montreal Voyagers.
If they permit the interleague draft.
It's not definite they're going to have it?
Well, we'll know at the meetings in Toronto and the owners, and then when the training camp starts in September.
Okay.
Okay, Bud, thanks a lot.
Thank you. For the call. Good evening, you're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch.
Yeah, could you tell me the name of the player that Red Wings signed out of college? I think it was from Wisconsin or Minnesota, one of those.
Taft?
We've signed a lot of players out of college, and that goes for Alex Delvecchio and Sid Abel way back, and now Ted Lindsay.
No, it was just over the summer, though.
Oh, yeah, young Taft, yeah. He played for the University of Wisconsin, a pretty good kid. Good defenseman. He
looks good. Very unusual defenseman for college. His style reminds me a lot of J.C. Tremblay, you know.
How come you're bringing up those Montreal Canadiens, Ron? You're a Detroiter. One thing about the other one is Larson. You know, Larson was acquired last year from the University of Minnesota and got injured late in the season, unfortunately, but Larson's a real comer, too. He's got great possibility. And there are other... we've got a 6'4" left winger out of Notre Dame. Young kid from Ontario, played for the Notre Dame, and I saw him against the University of Michigan twice last year. And he's coming to training camp. Clark Hamilton.
Plus, could you tell me why the Red Wings would sign Steve Durbano when really all he is a bully?
Well, I think now that the boy is 27 years of age, Ted Lindsay had a chance to talk to Steve himself. Went down to see him at his home, by the way, this summer, and talked to the boy, his father, and the boy's wife, and also his agent, of course. And he realized that he was the number two draft with the New York Rangers back in 71, and Durbano has been in hot water, believe me, more than one place. But somehow, along about 25, 26, or 27, you make a decision in life that this is your last chance of the big opportunity to play in your proven profession. And I think Durbano wants to play, and I'll tell you, he's Ted Lindsay's type of player.
Yes, he is.
Okay. Could you also tell me how Dan Maloney is doing from his injury last year?
Dan's doing very well, and that was an unfortunate thing, you know, when you realize that way last December he got injured, and the Red Wings really went into a nosedive after that.
Yeah.
And Dan Maloney has exercised and really worked and done a lot of swimming, and I'll tell you, they don't come any better for a quiet Irishman than Dan Maloney. And his teammates and his opponents respect him, and I think the fans love him.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call. But what about the other two players that the Red Wings signed in addition to Ron Lowe? How do they stack up? What do you think?
Well, Ted Lindsay has been signing, and no one has asked about the young kid they signed from junior hockey, the number one draft choice. You know, you talk about why we didn't get Mark Howe.
Yeah, right. McCourt.
Dale McCourt is the nephew, of course, of George Armstrong, the great chief for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and as Ted Lindsay likens him to a Stan Mikita, a playmaker type of center ice man.
And we need him, too.
Well, you got to have strength down the middle. You got to have a playmaker down the middle, too. And Ted has been signing.
The other two players he signed, though, with Ronnie Lowe also, you know, the other day.
Well, McDonough was the young kid, of course, again, who was a draft choice of the L.A. Kings a few years ago.
Yeah, did well with Pittsburgh. He used to kill the Red Wings.
Great playmaker. Let's face it, he was a boy at 27 now. He's had his turnaround in thinking. He was in that other league, the WHA, and as a free agent. Ted Lindsay has listened to everybody that has called, and he's having them come into camp. Some will be there at that early camp, the 8th of September at Kalamazoo.
There's about 100 people there, it looks like.
68 plus you, that's 69.
Also, there's a few that the Red Wings have not signed, or that they have signed that have just not been announced yet.
They've been invited to show up, and you can rest assured they got 21 wings, 18 centers, 20 defensemen, and 9 goalkeepers at that camp, and the big camp doesn't start till the 20th of September. So there's going to be some good material coming out of that first camp.
Let's hope so. Thank you, thank you for the call, sir. Good evening, you're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch. Oh, I got to push this button. Good evening, you're on the air with Bud Lynch.
Yes, I'd like to talk to Bud, please.
He's right here.
Yes.
Good evening.
Bud?
Good evening.
Yes, I disagree with your analysis concerning the starting time on Sundays at 4 o'clock. As a traveling salesman, I've had the opportunity to visit many cities, and many of your larger cities, much larger than Detroit, begin their games after 7 o'clock. And I think what has to happen in this area is I think the mayor of this town has to guarantee the fan who wants to come to a night game safety. Now, you said 4 o'clock would bring out the younger children. Now, as a father of three children, we usually eat like 5:30, and it makes it very difficult to us, you know, to break up our day that way.
You get a good point. Through the years, I think every year everyone is trying to evaluate what is a good time. The football season preoccupies everything Sunday afternoon, whether you're a football fan or not.
That's right.
So you don't get into hockey matinee games till after the first of the year. And I haven't really checked myself because the schedule was just finally approved today. I don't think there are that many Sunday games coming up after the first of the year, but I think some will be at 4, and there might be one at 2:30, and I'm sure that somewhere down the line there'll be some at 7 o'clock. It's quite true. You can't pick one time that's going to please everybody.
No,
but
no way.
The security and the protection, you've got a point.
See, you have to sell it to the people that when they come to any sporting event, whether it be baseball, basketball, hockey, that you're going to guarantee them, safety. Now, as I said, I've had an opportunity to visit Chicago, New York, and many of their events are at night. And the thing is, as I said, they flood the area with police officers, and there is, in quotes, a sort of guarantee to the fan that he or she is going to go to the ball game, and get into his or her car and go home and have an enjoyable evening. And I think that's what has to happen here in the Detroit area.
We've got word of mouth at times that gets a little out of kilter. Let me explain something. During the holiday season last year, when the NCAA Hockey Championship was held here, we had two capacity houses, over almost close to 16,000, and our building only seats 14,600.
Yes.
And they came in from all over Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Ontario, and you can rest assured that there was no qualm about going to Olympia at Grand River McGraw, that there was any qualm at all. There was ample protection, but there were people there, period. And the attraction was there. It was great college hockey. Red Wings have a good competitive team, whether it's 2 o'clock, noon. We hope we can accommodate as many as we can. But if you have an objection to a certain time, drop a note to Ted Lindsay and let him know. He'll look into it because he wants to make sure he's catering to the public again.
Fine.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the call. Bud Lynch is my guest this evening, and the line's been lit up the whole show. 965-4312 is the number. See, are you eating the right kinds of food? 965-4312 is the number. Good luck on getting through. All four lines have been going the whole program. Good evening. You're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch.
Oh, hello there.
Hello there.
Listen, I want to ask a question. How come, since we acquired Ron Lowe, where does that put Jimmy Rutherford and Eddie Jackman? I mean, is he going to start Ron Lowe off as our number one goalie, or...
Well, we talked about that earlier, saying that it looks like there may be a trade for one of the, if you'll excuse the expression, Jackman or Rutherford.
You said that. I didn't.
Is that right? Well, I'm with the Red Wing Farm Club, and I really would like to know because, I mean, I go back there and back the team up all the time, you know, and I kind of was wondering about the trade with Walt McKechnie. I mean, what does Bud Lynch think about this trade?
A trade in hockey, a trade in any sport, is one of those things you don't look forward to, but it's inevitable when a player signs a contract. Walt certainly was a credit in the role he played with the Red Wings in getting goal production like he did and assists like he did. And I think undoubtedly it was a shock in the situation. And
I think it was, too.
But, well, we both agree there, and I think once the initial shock is over, a lot of players have been traded. Lindsay was traded to Chicago years ago, and that was a shock. Hogebaum was traded. Guy Chiron was traded.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, see, I'm naming all those players. But,
I think Bud knows this person the way you're talking about Hogebaum.
I mean, he's my favorite. But I really was wondering about this trade with the goalie because I really love Rutherford and I really like Jackman, and I was kind of wondering what's going to happen maybe to Eddie Jackman since he was the oldest.
Well, now don't forget, we got another kid named Terry Richardson, too.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I can't forget that.
And then there's nine goalkeepers coming
really
into the pre-train.
I was wondering about Ron Lowe. I think it was good that we acquired him, but, I really, I hate to see our goalies go.
Oh, thank you for the call.
Okay.
Bye now. Good evening. You're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch.
Yeah. Ted Lindsay right now. Is he in Europe, right?
Ted Lindsay?
Yeah.
He is out of the country, yes, sir.
Yeah, well, is it true that he's going after some of the top talent from Finland?
He is actually going from Czechoslovakia to Sweden and Finland, and he's attending the Hockey Federation playoffs over there and going to give a lecture or demonstration at a couple of the clinics, be on the clinic staff, and it's going to be kind of interesting because he wants to make sure that the people know that Detroit Hockey Club, Detroit Hockey Organization per se, is not a fly-by-night organization. They're here, and if players in Europe ever have any desire of coming and can be available, and the Wings should go after a European player, no matter, including Tretiak, who is the goalie with the Russians, and we have a draft right to him.
Yeah.
Lindsay wants to make sure that the top Federation people over there in Finland, Sweden, and Czechoslovakia realize the Red Wings are a part of the National Hockey League for 31 years and more to go.
51.
Well, the last 31 have been interesting ones now.
Okay. And another question. You're at the public relations. How did Olympia Stadium go about hiring their vendors?
Actually, Lincoln Cavalieri is general manager, and Raul Sartori heads up the concessions. And many of them are vendors, I think, at Tiger Stadium.
Yes, they are.
Vendors and ushers by nature are the dedicated people who perhaps moonlight at times. More credit to them. They've been around sports. They're really fans to start with, but they're part of the action. They make pick up a couple of bucks, I guess.
Yeah, you'd have to call down and talk to them on that.
Yeah, because I asked about if the Red Wings can sign a Finnish player because I heard they were after some of their rough, hard-hitting defensemen that looked so strong in the Canada Cup Series.
Oh, don't forget Bobby Crum, who is the new coach of the Red Wings, had
him.
Winnipeg. And,
oh, yeah, all the Europeans there.
And he's had a few of them, including the ex-Red Winger Tommy Bergman, so you can rest assured we may have a language group at Olympia real soon.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening. You're on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I'd like to say that I enjoyed Bud immensely when he was broadcasting the Red
Wings. You're not the only one. Bud's got a lot of fans over has had a lot of fans over the year and still does.
Thank you very much.
Based on your broadcasting years, well, I've got the perfect cure-all for the Red Wings this year. All they need is longer sticks, because when you were broadcasting, whenever the Red Wings had a breakaway situation, the pass was just out of reach, and his stick wasn't long enough.
I understand.
If they got those longer sticks, I think they'd do a lot better.
I understand the rinks weren't long enough when I was broadcasting,
yeah,
according to some grandmothers, too.
Kind of wide, like 50 feet, when the rink from the net to the edge wasn't even 50 feet.
Isn't it funny how the officials have improved since I'm not broadcasting, too? Thanks for your observation.
One serious question, though. Based on your broadcasting, can you single out one game that was the most exciting game that you've seen or broadcast?
Good, very good question.
Very good question. I've had a few, I guess, all the years I was broadcasting. I guess the playoff games, the Stanley Cup final, when you go to the seventh game and a guy like Tony Leswick scores the deciding goal in overtime in a deciding game against Montreal New York Rangers. There were three of them in three great years. But I think a memorable night was done on St. Patty's night, 17th of March in the Montreal Forum, and Al Nigler and I were there working a game on radio in those days, and it turned out that there was a little bit of a fracas there because the Canadians had an uprising against the fact that Clarence Campbell, the league president, had fined Rocket Richard and suspended him, and the game ended up in a forfeit. In fact, a note was put under the Red Wing dressing room door by Frank Selke Sr. telling Jack Adams to take the team out of town. The game was forfeited, and the Wings won it 2-0. They were ahead 2-1 at the time, but they won the game 2-0 in forfeit. And we had a little hairy time getting out to Westmont Station to get home.
Yeah.
But it was St. Patty's night. I didn't mind.
What year was that, Bud?
What year was that? It was
I'm going to say in the 50s.
Somewhere. 57, 58.
No. I didn't think you were that old.
I had my driver's test today. I know how old I am. I read my license.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot, Bud.
Thank you very much for the call. Well, we're out of time, Bud, and the time just flew right on by, just like when you broadcast the Red Wing games. Boy, they just flew right on by, and I want to thank you for being with us and for being my guest, even though I do not have it with me due to vacations and everything. You receive a dinner for two at the Victoria Station in Southfield, a fine eating place. Victoria Station is located on Northwestern Highway, just south of 12 Mile in Southfield. It's unlike any other restaurant you've ever attended. Relax in a real boxcar. Enjoy their fine prime rib. All the antiques around there, that's the Victoria Station in Southfield. Bud, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Ron, congratulations to you in the sports field now that you're at a microphone, and your enthusiasm and dedication to follow all sports augurs well that you have a great listening audience. And this is still one heck of a sports complex, meaning the greater Detroit metropolitan area. For the Pistons, the Lions, the Tigers, the Red Wings, and everybody else.
Okay, thank you, Bud, to my guest. A week from tonight, open line, but next Monday, my guest will be, who is my guest?